The greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world he didn't exist.
I saw a pale horse.
The beast.
We're told in the book of Revelation.
This is not a human child.
Isn't an angel?
Satan. Armageddon is almost upon us.
Order the use of nuclear weapons.
The world is a fine place and worth fighting for.
From one end of the world to the other.
They're here.
Welcome to the end of the world.
Wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is PID Radio.
From a split-level bunker somewhere in the heartland of America, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert, and welcome to our humble bunker, everybody. You know what? This is great. It's a great bunker.
It is.
And it's got a great deck.
it's getting better all the time.
I know. Yes. Happy Father's Day, sweetheart.
Well, thank you, love. Today is June the 15th of 2014. Is today the 15th? 15th. 16th?
Today the 15th.
Yes, thank you. And Father's Day of 2014. So our gospel quartet was getting ready to sing at church this morning, and one of the fellows asked if any of us wanted to say anything about our dads, because all of us, our fathers have been called home and are with the Lord now. And then all four of us started crying, like, well, I don't think we better.
And of course, the one who most recently lost his father is the one who spoke.
Yeah, yeah.
So, it was very well done, by the way. And I've posted that to my Google Plus account. So if you're one of my fellow G Plus folks, then... well, golly gee, you can look at it over there. And by the way, G stands for Gilbert.
Yes. So, it actually was very nice. It was a nice arrangement that our choir director had done of Amazing Grace and Face to Face with, is that the title?
Yeah,
of the, Face to Face with Christ My Savior. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, it was kind of funny here, you know, because one of the guys, yeah, you know, he's got a shaved head and he rides a Harley, and the other guy is a career military guy, and another guy was a longtime, you know, coach of athletics at the university here, you know, and me, and all four of us are going, whoa. So, but I think, you know,
all four of you guys are awesome. You know, manly guys, but I would not have you any other way. That's what the Lord does in your heart.
He does. It softens it. And, you know, my dad said that he noticed that as he got older, and especially he had a heart attack at about the age that I am now.
Yeah.
He realized, he said later after that, that it was really silly to keep up this, you know, guy thing that men of his generation were supposed to maintain, which was this, you know, impassive, stoic, I have no emotion, sort of facade. And, you know, when they have friends and you wanted to show friendship to the other guys, you did it by, you know, ridiculing them and making fun of them and, you know, hitting them on the arm or whatever. And he just said the older he got, the more he realized that was just silly. And so I'm just glad that the last words that he ever said to me on this earth were, I love you. And I'm just thankful that I know where he is, and that we'll be reunited someday.
Amen. Couldn't have said it better.
I pray that if your father's still with you, that you take the opportunity to let him know, and let your mother know how much you appreciate and love what they do. And as you get older, I think I've said this before probably, but I'll say it again, the more intelligent your parents become. And my father, who passed away in August of 2005, continues to get smarter. I'm not quite sure how he's managing that, but it's true. And thankfully, my daughter's at an age now where, forgive me, I should say our daughter. And I try to remember to say that every time.
Oh, you know what? I understand. She is my stepdaughter, so I understand that.
Yes, but you played a major role in her life and really added a whole dimension to her geekiness that she might not otherwise have had. And the older she gets... the more intelligent we're becoming. So I'm just glad we're still here to watch this.
I know. I can feel my motor neurons and my various gray cells just going crazy.
Yes, the little gray cells.
By the way, Sam is taking you up on your offer, and he's coming over to say hello to his mother.
Ah, yes. Hi,
Sam. Mom.
So anyway, there is a lot to talk about this weekend, and sadly, not all of it is as joyful as the family relationship. In fact, some of it has had some very dire consequences for families who listen to this program, because we've seen some emails. I made some comments at the end of the View from the Bunker interview that I posted just Friday evening, the interview recorded in Orlando with Dr. Doug Stauffer, because of the situation that is developing in Iraq. And I was kind of angry when I posted that. And you might be able to hear it in the tone of voice that in the comments that I recorded. And I got a note from a woman whose son is suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder and possibly even some brain damage from his experiences in the military in Iraq. And the veterans who served over there during the 10 years that the United States military was actively engaged in Iraq are now watching as the country is on the verge of being torn in perhaps three by force. And are wondering, why did we sacrifice for this? They went believing that they were serving the cause of freedom and liberty for people in Iraq. And we are now watching as Al-Qaeda-linked militants, the Iraqi or Islamic State of Iraq, and pick your name, Al-Sham, Syria, Levant, whatever, ISIS is the popular acronym by which it's being called here in the West, although it was ISIL until
they moved over
to moved
Iraq.
From Syria into Iraq.
Right.
So it is a situation that is making us angry, because as we begin to dig into some of the things that have been reported about this, and we don't have any secret sources. We're just looking at news that's typically that's freely and openly available, or what you call open source intelligence, and trying to piece together
things. We just don't have a whole lot else in our lives that distracts us, to be honest with you.
Right.
We don't have cable television.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have children at home.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have a whole lot else to do with our lives.
Yeah. So we are watching what appears to be a proxy war between Turkey on the one side and the Persian state, Iran, on the other. There are a number of different ways of viewing this, and we'll try to cover them as intelligently as we can with the little bit of understanding that we have, which isn't much, I'll confess. There is one analyst who is reporting that this appears to be just a continuation of the ancient feud between the Ottoman Empire of the Turks and the Persian Empire, Iran, who fought many times. I think the last time was in the 17th century, in the area now occupied by the Kurds. The Kurds are sort of in the middle and have been for generations between the Persians, the Turks, the Syrians, the Assyrians, and other various people groups. And they're always, you know, the ones kind of stuck in between. The Turks, on the one hand, are primarily Sunni, as is this ISIS organization. They are Sunni. Mm-hmm. The government of Iran is Shia, mm-hmm. as is the elected government in Iraq, Nouri al-Maliki.
And Saudi Arabia is Sunni.
Saudi Arabia is Sunni. So you've got the Saudis and the Turks who are Sunni. Iran is Shia. Iran, of course, was very happy when they were able to broker a peace deal between Nouri al-Maliki and rival factions within the Shia community in Iraq. This is something we in the West don't really understand. We kind of look at them and just say, well, Muslims, they're, you know, blah, 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 fill
no,
in the blank.
No, they're not. No.
They have as many factions, it appears, and I'm
you
certainly
can call
not
them
an expert.
Denominations if you want to.
Yes, as we Christians do.
Yeah.
And not only do you have the Sunnis and the Shia, but you have groups within those broad descriptions,
mm-hmm.
just as within, you know, Catholic and Protestant, you've got Roman Catholic, Byzantine Catholic, Greek Orthodox, Russian Orthodox, and various other
right.
denominations. And under Protestant, you know, Lutheran, Baptist, Methodist, Wesley, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So there are factions within the Shia government there that have weakened the hand of Nouri al-Maliki and his government. You remember Muqtada al-Sadr
mm-hmm.
and his Mahdi army?
Yes. Oh,
yes.
Yes.
Well, the Iranians a couple of years ago brokered a deal to get the Mahdi army to stand down and let al-Maliki run the country, or at mm-hmm. least be the, you know, head of state
right.
for official purposes. I don't know if he's actually ever run the country any more than the guy in Afghanistan has run that country. But because of the weak position that al-Maliki has, the Sunni insurgents have been able to regain strength after the United States military pulled out. Well, this group ISIS that is now in Iraq, and you know, we are hearing all of these horror stories and seeing these horrifying pictures in the news this weekend. CNN, London Telegraph, other news outlets reporting these pictures of ISIS committing atrocities, just leaving beheaded bodies all mm-hmm. along the route to Baghdad as they
taking young men out and just shooting them out in the country.
Yes. Yeah. Let us not forget, this is a key point to remember in all of this. ISIS, the group now that may prompt the United States and other Western governments to send troops back to Iraq to defend the Shiite government of Nouri al-Maliki, are the same people we have been sending weapons to so they can overthrow Bashar al-Assad in Syria.
Exactly. Exactly.
This is...
it's a repeat of history because we had been secretly giving weapons and on-the-ground mm-hmm. Training to al-Qaeda.
Yes.
Back in the day when they were fighting the Russians.
That's right. The Mujahideen mm-hmm. from Pakistan that we sent into Afghanistan, who later became the Taliban.
Yes.
And started using the weapons we gave them to blow up American helicopters. The weapons that we gave ISIS to fight the Syrian government, as we were told that the government of Assad was gassing its own citizens, except that the canisters were coming from the wrong side of the border, you know, the rebel side.
So who benefits from this?
Who benefits from this? It appears, looking at this in broad strokes, and again, we are certainly not geopolitical experts, but what it appears is that we are still in the West committed to this path to Persia, and that Nouri al-Maliki's government in Iraq, being Shia, provided a buffer, a safe Western border for Iran. Well, we can't have that. We can't have that. The Saudis don't want it. They want to destroy Iran's arc of influence in the Persian Gulf. Mm-hmm. So the Gulf, what are they called? The GCC, the Gulf Communications or Cooperation Committee.
Carry on. I'll look it up.
Yeah, it's Saudi Arabia plus a few of its neighbors like Qatar or Qatar. Gulf Cooperation Council. That's what I was looking for. Bahrain, Kuwait, Oman, Qatar, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates, primarily Sunni nations, don't want Iran exerting influence in the Gulf. So they want to take down the Shia-controlled government of Iraq. And they are doing it through ISIS. Mm-hmm. ISIS, which has been funded and armed by Western nations, including the United States. I have to wonder, because there were a couple of stories that were very prominently reported in the mainstream media this past week. ISIS took the northern city of Mosul in Iraq, which was one of the key oil-producing centers in northern Iraq, and raided the bank there and made off, we are told, with $429 million, which made ISIS the wealthiest terrorist organization in the world, so we are told. I wonder, could this be plausible deniability to explain how this group
$29 million disappeared?
No.
Oh,
no.
Sorry.
I'm wondering, is this how we explain why this ragtag group of terrorists is so well armed, so well trained, and driving a matching fleet of Toyota trucks? Brand new. Oh, well, they got all that money from the bank there. Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Crickets. And they've captured all these weapons. This is another story, too, that they've captured all these weapons given by the United States to Iraq's security forces, which, when threatened by ISIS, just threw them down and ran away. So they've got all these Western weapons. They're driving these brand new Toyota trucks, and they're very well trained and armed. Oh, but it's because they raided the bank and they stole the $429 million and they picked up all these American weapons that were left behind by the cowardly Iraqi security forces. No, that smells like plausible deniability to me, especially because, as we know, these were rebels in Syria that we were backing to get rid of the evil Bashar al-Assad.
I'm nodding my head. Yes, yeah, I'm in total agreement with you. We talked about that this morning, and I think most of my anger was unleashed this morning.
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that the government of the United States, the UK, are professing ignorance, we didn't see this coming. Well, excuse me, but what in the world is the CIA doing then?
They're busy looking at us.
That's right. There are too many of those dangerous Christians and white supremacists inside the United States that we need.
Ones that won't take vaccinations for their kids.
That's right. That's who we need to keep an eye on. Either one of two things, or one of three things. Either one, they're busy watching homeschoolers and vaccine activists. Mm-hmm. Number two, they're really stupid and incompetent. I don't think that's
okay. It.
Or number three, they knew this was coming, and once again, plausible deniability. We can't admit that we actually financed, because I think, you know, let's try this as speculation here, labeling this as speculation. We're hearing the drumbeat now, and we're seeing these horrible pictures of these evil ISIS terrorists machine gunning groups of helpless men that have surrendered, beheading them and leaving their bodies to rot in the desert sun. Oh, well, this is a humanitarian crisis. We need to go back in to establish the rule of law and spread democracy. I think this is being used not only to go back into Iraq, but to justify the invasion of Syria that they wanted all along. Because ISIS came from Syria, we need to go into Syria to wipe out their bases.
Well, you know what Bill Clinton would say. What the definition of it is.
Yeah.
I want to read, by the way, from the Fount of All Knowledge, Wikipedia, the explanation for the stated objectives of the GCC. Among these objectives are formulating similar regulations in various fields such as religious, finance, trade, customs, tourism, legislation, and administration. In other words, we want to tell them how to run their governments. Fostering scientific and technical progress in industry, mining, agriculture, water, mm-hmm, I'm going to say that again,
mm-hmm, yes,
and animal resources. And the reason I repeated water twice more was because water is more important than oil.
Yeah, yeah.
You can live without your car. You mm-hmm cannot live without water. Establishing scientific research centers, setting up joint ventures. Unified military presence, known as the Peninsula Shield Force. Encouraging cooperations of the Encouraging cooperation of the private sector. More of that joint venture stuff, mm-hmm, I'm betting. Strengthening ties between their peoples. Yes, they're so much stronger now. And establishing...
Well, they meant like, in, you know, loops with many knots on the end hanging over a tree branch.
This one, I think we failed it. Establishing a common currency by 2010.
Hmm.
Omar announced, by the way, in December 2006, it would not be able to meet the target date. Oh, we're really sorry. Just, you know, all right, we just don't like you being here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we feel sick about it.
Yeah, well, it's... Qatar was later chosen to host the 2022 FIFA World Cup. Okay, gang,
mm-hmm,
it all has to be in place by 2022. And let's see, Doha had submitted for the 2016 Summer Olympics. They were turned down, but Qatar has been chosen for the World Cup in 2022. So I'd say we're going to be there until at least 2022.
Probably so. Now, to pick up where you led with the water mention, the reference to water,
mm-hmm,
Turkey is employing water as a weapon against Syria.
I saw that.
They have taken the flow of the Euphrates River, which begins in Turkey and runs through Syria into Iraq, and irrigates a good bit of Syria, and they have diverted the water from going through the, what is the dam here? It is...
they have several reservoirs up there, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, the Ataturk.
Based on, yeah.
The Ataturk Dam. By cutting off, they have completely cut off the flow of the Euphrates, by the
yes,
way.
Yes, yeah. Which, by the way, has been reported by geospatial observations as drying up.
Yeah. Lake Assad, which is the largest body of water in Syria in the last 2 weeks, has dropped by 20 feet.
Yeah. Well, when you and I talked about this story, which easily is a week ago,
mm-hmm.
the people in the area weren't going to live through the night. They were going to be out of water by that evening.
Yeah.
And the lower the level gets, as if I understand this correctly, the hydrodynamics is that the dam will fail if it doesn't have water pressure against it.
Mm.
I don't know why that is, but apparently if it drains too far, that the dam itself could start to fail.
Well, I'm no engineer, but I just have to guess they've got an equal amount of pressure on the opposite side of the dam.
One would think so, but you know, if that's true, then you can fix it, you would think so. But anyway, yeah maybe it just has to be wet. I don't know.
Well, Daniel Pipes, who writes extensively about the Middle East and is not necessarily an unbiased observer. Anyway, he says the Euphrates River provides about a third of Syria's water supply. The Euphrates has been completely stopped by the Turkish government, according to an article in Al Akbar newspaper there. So the river, there's nothing flowing into Syria. Not only does it threaten Syria, but it threatens Iraq. Within days, 7 million Syrians could be without water as well as electricity. Al-Akbar says, quote, a halt to the water supply is now inevitable, and it can't be resolved unless the Turkish government takes the decision to resume pumping Euphrates water. So a large part of Syria, a third of its water supply, cut off by the Turks. Now, here's another little bit of information to throw into the mix. You remember a little news item that kind of blipped across our radar about the government of Turkey banning YouTube?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, here's why.
Was it that video I posted?
Well, of the First Baptist Four? I don't think so.
Okay.
It predates it. I think we can be pretty
right.
safe to say that. The government of Prime Minister Tayyip Erdogan banned YouTube after a conversation was leaked between the head of Turkish intelligence, Hakan Fidan. Cliff Garner is laughing now at my pronunciation, I have no doubt. And Turkish
you need
foreign
to send
minister,
us phonetic pronunciations, Cliff.
Yes. Turkish Foreign Minister Ahmet Davutoglu. Davutog with a crescent on top. L-U. I have no idea how that's pronounced. Anyway, the upshot of this is that they were looking for a cause of war.
Mm-hmm.
Between Turkey and Syria. They were looking for a false flag mm-hmm. attack, and the head of intelligence, Fidan, said, and I quote, I'll send four men from Syria if that's what it takes. I'll make up a cause of war by ordering a missile attack on Turkey. We can also prepare an attack on Suleiman Shah tomb if necessary, end quote. Now, the Suleiman Shah tomb is the tomb of the grandfather of the guy who founded the Ottoman Empire, Ottoman dynasty. So, that would be like saying, we're going to blow up George Washington's tomb.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Or something similar, just to give you an idea. Now, this is probably no longer necessary, this, cause for war.
Causes belli.
Causes belli. Thank you. I was trying to think of the phrase, and I didn't want to say it and be wrong. Because when ISIS took Mosul, they captured the Turkish embassy, and there are some 80 Turkish embassy workers who are being held by ISIS. So, okay, we need to go in and we need to rescue our guys in Mosul. And because ISIS originated from bases in Syria, we better go into Syria too. Remember that Turkey is a member of NATO.
Mm-hmm.
What we're watching is a NATO-sponsored invasion of Iraq that will also justify a NATO invasion of Syria.
Yeah.
And
however,
all of it to destabilize the Iranian-backed government in Baghdad and just put a thorn in the side of the
Iranians. I have a feeling that Erdogan might just find that his buddies from NATO,
mm-hmm.
once everything they want is done, they will then turn on him.
Could be. Could be. You know, as with most things that we discuss on PID Radio, we don't believe that the human actors are the ones really calling the overarching strategic shots.
They're the ones quoted in the news, and they're the ones who are meeting in mm-hmm. our space-time continuum.
Yes.
However, there are others helping to make the decisions and perhaps whispering in their ears.
Powers, principalities, thrones, mm-hmm. dominions.
The ones that in their, I'm assuming in their viewpoint, they're really the ones who own it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was given this by God.
Mm-hmm.
And I get to control it until he comes and takes it away.
Yeah. So when we refer to a prince of Persia, that's the kind of thing that we're talking about. A literal
prince.
Non-corporeal intelligence, probably evil.
Yeah.
So, and just to make sure we understand that ISIS are the bad guys now, there's a story that was reported by the Gatestone Institute, which is headed up by John Bolton, former U.S. ambassador to, a conservative, or at least nominal conservative, according to the official definition. ISIS has threatened to invade Jordan and slaughter King Abdullah.
That's not going to go over very well.
No.
Sorry, I will have to get a Kleenex.
So it's mind-numbing what's taking place over there. And again, to believe that the United States intelligence agencies, that the British intelligence agencies, that NATO were completely taken by surprise it's frankly unbelievable. It's a lie. it's a lie. I'm trying to find a nice way to put this, but I can't. It's just flat out a lie, because all they had to do was read a newspaper called the
disingenuous.
Yes. Thank you. That's a very good way of putting it. They made this claim. That happens not to be the case.
It's just not genuine.
Yeah.
It ain't the genuine thing.
All they had to do, the Western intelligence sources, CIA, NSA, DIA, whoever else, was read a newspaper from Lebanon called the Daily Star, which reported in March, quote, Al-Qaeda splinter group in Syria leaves two provinces, end quote. The Lebanon Daily Star, reporting back in March, reported, quote, on Friday, ISIS, which alienated many rebels by seizing territory and killing rival commanders, finished withdrawing from the Idlib and Latakia provinces and moved its forces toward the eastern Raqqa province. That would be on the border of Iraq.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And the eastern outskirts of the northern city, Aleppo, activists said.
Hmm.
So assuming that we've got assets on the ground who are paying attention to what news sources in Lebanon, Syria, other places in the Middle East are reporting, they would have known these guys were on the move and headed for Iraq weeks ago.
But, honey, Iran has said they'll be happy to help us with this.
Oh, yeah, this could be really interesting. Yes, because now it's being reported, actually, that Iran has sent a couple thousand troops into Iraq to help bolster the government of Nouri al-Maliki. So there could be a real fight between actual professional soldiers on both sides, I might add, as they approach Baghdad.
Let us not forget the long, long Iraqi-Iran war.
Yes. And while this is going on, the Kurds in the north have struck a deal with the Turks to start shipping oil through a 40-inch pipeline by the end of this year, regardless of what Baghdad says. This is essentially a declaration of independence by the Kurds in northern Iraq.
Hmm.
Hail Kurdistan. They've also captured the city of Kirkuk, which is the other big oil-producing region in the north. So you've got the Sunnis coming in from the north and west. You've got the Kurds in the northeast of Iraq. You've got the Shia in the south. And you know what? All of this is starting to look
like Bible prophecy coming true.
Well, it's also making Vice President Joe Biden look like a pretty smart guy.
Oh, you take that back.
Years ago, he said, you know, we really ought to just subdivide the country into three autonomous areas, Shiistan,
yes,
and Sunnistan, and Kurdistan.
And in fact, that's been the plan all along.
Yep.
Joe Biden, you really need to pay attention to what he says, because he's saying what they're all saying behind closed doors. He just either is being portrayed as
A buffoon.
Disingenuous. Or he's very, very smart. I don't know which one it is.
Yeah. Well, it's like that Saturday Night Live sketch where, not Kevin Nealon, the fellow who passed away too young, was in News Radio, the sitcom. after Saturday Night Live. Anyway, playing Ronald Reagan.
Oh, yes, I remember that sketch. Can't remember the name of the guy, but I do remember that sketch.
Yeah, it's time for your photo op with the girl. Says, well,
hi, I'm
hello.
Buffoon guy.
How are you? Oh, this is nice. And as soon as everybody leaves the room, suddenly Reagan is like smart as a whip, and he's ordering Henry Kissinger.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. Oh, yes, I do know, and I'll think of it later. wasn't Kevin something, was it?
No, Kevin Nealon was the other guy.
Yeah, I do remember, sadly, he was in the news a lot because he and his wife were always fighting.
Saturday Night Live, news radio, it'll come up here in a minute.
Well, you know, you said that the star in Lebanon.
Phil Hartman.
You said that this was in the news back in March, if anybody had been paying attention. But the sad thing is, over here in the Western Hemisphere, we're primarily being fed alter news. We're getting stuff that we're supposed to be consuming.
Right.
We're getting lots and lots of bread and circuses.
Mm-hmm.
And we are getting scandal of the day. We had the VA scandal. We've had ongoing, whistleblower scandals. And then there was the Bo Bergdahl thing. And now we've got the border problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that is a...
That's a lead-in to the border story.
Yeah, and that's another story that just really smells wrong.
Exactly. We're talking about the story that we're being fed stinks.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
It doesn't pass the smell test.
But sadly, I'm guessing that when you've got lots and lots of people in one room and they're sleeping in there probably for many, many hours.
Mm-hmm.
It probably isn't the most pleasant place for those people either.
No. It's tragic because it's a story that tugs at the heartstrings of most decent people. And I believe most people are genuinely decent, just want to live their lives in peace, raise their kids, have a happy life, just, spend afternoons or evenings on the front porch sipping lemonade or whatever, the equivalent thereof.
Yeah. And they want a safe place for their children to grow up.
Exactly.
They want opportunities for their children, so because every parent wants his or her child to have a better life than he or she does.
Right. And that has been at the root of, at least in part, at the root of the immigration problem here in the United States since the mid-60s. We somehow, progressives in this country, and let me just say this just to get it out, they seem to have the idea that, America is a melting pot and it's always been that way and immigrants are the backbone of America, blah, blah, blah. That's not quite exactly true. Most of the immigrants who came to the United States in its early days were from a relatively homogenous background, white, Anglo-Saxon, not entirely, but mostly, Protestant, again, not entirely, but mostly. And what formed the backbone of the United States and its laws was, English common law before that. Many of the immigrants that we are welcoming into the United States over the last, and have welcomed or have just absorbed over the last 50 years, are coming from areas where they do not share that cultural background. They come from socialist countries and predominantly tribal backgrounds, very different from the experience of the Anglo-Saxon settlers who founded the country.
With a heavy gang.
And especially in recent years with a heavy gang influence. Yes,
exactly. And many, from what I read, many of the young men, and they're saying children, yes, technically, since you and I have responsibilities toward our kids until they're 26.
Yeah.
Anyone under 26, according to this government, is a child.
Mm-hmm. We are told that some 47,000 of these minors have traveled to America from places like Honduras, El Salvador, Guatemala, Nicaragua. Predominantly El Salvador, Honduras, and Guatemala.
Right. Yeah. To flee the gang wars and
epidemic of gang violence. And another attraction is that there's a perception apparently in Central America that is not necessarily accurate, that the United States has become very lax in its immigration policy, that if your kids make it to the border, get in the river, they should surrender to Border Patrol because they'll be allowed to stay.
I think that actually they think we've thrown out the welcome mat.
Yeah. And there have been some reports that there are actually radio stations in Central America that are broadcasting that fact, that yeah. Obama is saying all are welcome. Come on. Now, what are the odds of kids walking? And I've not looked at this on a map, so I don't know the distance, but in an area that is struggling with gang violence, that kids, you know, 12, 14, 16 years old are going to be able to walk all the way from El Salvador to, say, Brownsville, Texas,
it's
or wherever.
It's got to be like 1,200, 1,500 miles, don't you think?
I'm just guessing. I don't know. I'd have to look at a map here real
quick.
It's
a pretty long distance.
But according
to a story, Mexico's
a
big area.
It is. According to a story in the Washington Post today, parents here in the United States who came to America to send money back home and left their children at back home.
Yeah, which boggles my mind.
Are sending money back there. In some cases, $2,500 to $6,000 were the figures that I saw quoted. So I don't know.
Sending the money home.
Sending the money
to
home
pay,
to pay, yes, to pay guides.
Pay for passage.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're paying people. There are people who are doing a pretty good business, escorting children from Central America to the Rio Grande. And then basically throwing them in the river so they can be caught by Border Patrol. And then they're being housed at American military bases. Again, this just doesn't pass the smell test. What prompted all of these children and all of these parents to suddenly, you know, tens of thousands of them to suddenly show up at our southern border in just the last few weeks?
Late last year, but yeah, most of it within the last few weeks.
Right. And and officials are saying that they expect another 60,000 to show up by the end of the year.
Joe Biden told a group that our economy, our economic health is reliant upon the so-called dreamers.
Yes, we need a steady, unending stream is what he said. So
how elitist is that? I mean, is he saying we need low income wage workers? We need people who are willing to do jobs Americans won't do.
Right.
I think a lot of out of work Americans would like to go up and argue that point with him.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I would agree. The reason that Americans won't do the jobs is because the people who are wanting to get the jobs done are not willing to pay a living wage.
Right.
And because the border's open and we've got this deflationary pressure on this.
Yeah, I think by economy, he means that we need to legitimize all of these people so they're paying taxes.
Yeah. Yeah. Because we, the white Anglo-Saxon Protestants who founded the country, we are not having babies at replacement rate.
No, we're not.
The average American couple is having 1.6 children, and just to replace the population,
you need 2.2 or something.
Yeah, 2.1. Right. So it's we're not having enough kids to maintain the population. So we need to. And as the population ages, as the baby boom gets into 60s and 70s, well, who's going to pay for Social Security for all those people? Well, we can't make new babies. Let's just It's like the college football coach who can't go out and recruit good high school students, good players.
Yeah.
So they go to the junior college route and get the guys who couldn't qualify to get into college right out of high school. So they had to go to junior college and play there and get their grades up. You know, we can't make new babies fast enough. We need to import a lot of 15 and 16 year olds who will go into the army and serve in the army in all of our foreign military ventures.
Yeah.
And then eventually, and entice them to do so by making them citizens at the end of their service.
Well, let me also bring up a couple of other points. One of those is that Obama, if I'm correct, is on the record as saying that he's all in favor of dreamers serving in the military in order to gain their citizenship in a more legitimate route. Mm-hmm. And this isn't new. This has been done for a long time. The other thing I want to remind everybody about is that when he was running for president, then Senator Obama said he was all in favor of a citizen military, a citizen army, a group of citizens who served, mm-hmm. as they do in Germany, sort of a social route.
What did he call that?
I can't remember what he called it. Sorry, can't think of it.
Citizen Security Force?
Something like that. Essentially, it was a military idea, but non-military personnel.
Right.
And it sort of reminded me of Police Academy. You know, where all these citizens go and they learn how to do the things the police do.
Yeah.
But they're citizen police.
Civilian national, what do you call it, a civilian security force.
It's a little bit creepy when you think that if I'm right, and many of these people are told you can get a fast track to citizenship if you serve in the military or in this citizen force, that, you know, that's replacing our National Guard.
Yeah, that was what he said. I found the quote here, quote, "We cannot continue to rely only on our military in order to achieve the national security objectives that we've set. We've got to have a civilian national security force that's just as powerful, just as strong, just as well-funded."
Yep.
Oh, we really are turning into Rome, aren't we?
Yep.
You know, the Romans couldn't find enough Italians who wanted their children to serve, and so they began welcoming the Goths and the Vandals and the Burgundians and the Lombards.
Uh-huh.
And the, you know, and other various tribes. They began welcoming these barbarians into the legions with the promise of Roman citizenship at the end.
And you know what? Their legion, their allegiance was to themselves.
To their tribes.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. It's not going to be to the central government, is going to be to the tribe.
No.
Yeah.
Well, you are.
Or to the culture. You know, and I say tribe.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
And I'd like to think that I'm totally wrong on that, but history tells me.
Yeah.
Probably right.
Probably right. And, you know, the funny thing is, while this is happening, I've been hearing more and more stories. In fact, we talked to Ray Gano of Prophezine. Last week, who... He and his wife relocated to Costa Rica a couple of years ago. Just kind of got fed up with the way things were going, and they found that they cut their cost of living by 2/3.
I know.
In Costa Rica. Yeah. Full health insurance.
Costa Rica's still looking pretty good right now. Yeah,
exactly. It's not really funny. It's actually kind of sad that as Central America is emptying out of young people, America's seniors are all heading to Central America.
Yeah. Well, it's less expensive, and their health care is awesome from what we understand.
Yes, it's actually, according to Ray, it's pretty darn good in Costa Rica, and there are other places down there like Nicaragua. I heard an NBC News report the other day as I was traveling around on the radio about American seniors flocking to Nicaragua because they're getting great health care and the cost of living is so much lower. So... And let's face it, most of us baby boomers haven't put aside enough for retirement, so we're facing the problem. How do we make the money last?
Oh. So do we have to send some money to the guides to get us there between here and there? Is Ray Gano know the guides' names?
We have to jump through the swim the Rio Grande.
Ray, we're going to send you some money. You spread it out to the guides, you know,
and we'll
give
be
us a nice safe journey.
So it just makes you shake your head because the realization is really beginning to sink in. This isn't the America that I was taught that it was when I was a kid.
Yeah. Well.
But the other thing then to consider, remember, as a Christian, this is not we're to be good citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we're to be good citizens, salt in the earth, but our first loyalty is not to the government of the United States.
Exactly. Our kingdom is not of this world. And it is not here yet, by the way, folks.
That's right. And we are not going to make it happen.
No, we are not going to make it happen.
It'll happen on God's time.
Speaking of time.
You know, he's early.
Oh, Sam, you're early. Don't stare at me. So, you need to go outside?
You just had 15 minutes, Sam. So that was, this smells like an operation. It smells like something that is deliberately designed to play on the emotions of Americans who genuinely want to help, especially when kids are involved, designed to get the American public to accept immigration reform. Because when it becomes an issue in an election, it always loses. Look at what happened to House Majority Leader Eric Cantor in Virginia.
Yes.
A guy who's been in Congress for, 12 years? He's defeated by a guy who spent about $150,000 in advertising, Dave Brat, an econ professor.
Supposedly,
but I don't really know that much about him. I don't know
Me
that
neither.
He's really that.
I don't think anybody does.
He's the people who are trying to characterize him are trying to slander him with the label of anti-Semite and racist and this, that, and the other. But he was just making the case that because Cantor, anti-Semite, because Cantor is Jewish,
So you shouldn't run against someone who's Jewish?
Well, you shouldn't win, apparently.
Oh, I see.
Well, at least that's what the critics are saying. Now, he's being mischaracterized by the people in the news who couldn't figure out why Cantor lost. And the point is very simple. You got an economy that is still in recession. If you looked at real numbers and not the phony baloney numbers put out by the Department of Labor Statistics, we're still in a recession.
Yeah.
And the government is insisting, as Joe Biden has, and as Cantor and others on the Republican side, collaborators, are saying, we need to reform immigration. Well, okay, I know we need to do something, but first and foremost, let's secure the border.
That's not going to happen, honey. Don't you realize? Oh, honey, you're so behind the times.
Yes.
We live in the North American Union.
Ah, yes.
Honey, this is all one big playground. All are welcome.
Yeah. Well, and that's it. And, you know, you mentioned this morning getting angry as we were talking about this and what was going on in Iraq. And the news
does
seem to
have that. I was sitting there trying
to
listen to the birds, drinking my coffee, trying to just sort of chill out, getting ready, you know, church is in a little bit. Got to play the piano this morning, which always makes me nervous. I get all riled up and I start screaming.
That's because I wouldn't shut up about it. But honey, do you realize what's going on? She's like, yeah. But you know, the point is that if we put our trust and hope in political solutions,
exactly,
we're always going to wind up at this point where we're ready to take up torches and pitchforks. And that's not the solution.
Exactly.
That is absolutely not the answer.
That's what the enemy wants.
Yes. Yes. They want us.
Which brings us around to why we even talk about this stuff. We are born-again Christians. We believe Jesus Christ is coming back. We believe he is going to set up a millennial kingdom on this earth. We believe that God wins. In fact, God has already won.
Mm-hmm.
So why do we care? We want you, our listeners, and all the people that you have any kind of influence over, to understand there are things going on in the background that the enemy doesn't want you to know, because it shows that prophecy is true. It shows that we are living in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
It shows that we're very, very close to that moment when Jesus Christ does come back and their time is over.
That's right.
They being the powers and principalities that are the real rulers of planet Earth for now.
Mm-hmm. And why they're using everything they can get their hands on to distract us.
So even all these things are going on.
Yep.
We can laugh.
Exactly.
And sit and enjoy the birds.
Let not your heart be troubled, is the way Jesus put it.
Exactly.
Sean Hannity uses that phrase a lot during his show. I haven't listened to him in a long time, but at least when I was listening to him,
I used to cringe every time you say it.
Me too. Because he's using it out of context. Look, if you're going to quote Jesus Christ, use it in the context.
Exactly. Because what he was essentially saying is, because you've listened to my show,
yes. You
don't have to worry about anything.
Right. Sorry.
Sorry, Sean.
And by the way, the CIA using the phrase, the truth shall set you free.
Yeah,
let's put that in context. That's also a quote from Jesus Christ. I am the truth and the way and the life.
Mm-hmm.
Know me and you know the truth and the truth
exactly.
shall set you free.
Amen. Yeah. He's the capital T truth.
Well, okay. I feel.
Well, you know what? Here's another one I think. I want to make sure people are aware that there's a lot more at stake than possibly losing your job to someone who's coming over the border.
Right.
And that is that these people are bringing not only their customs, they may be bringing their diseases.
Mm.
Most of them are probably healthy. But honestly, there are diseases, tropical diseases, that take place in Central America that you and I have no antibodies toward.
Right.
And there may be people who are holed up in a small room. Only one person has to be sick. And suddenly you've got a dozen people who are sick, who infect another, 50, who infect another 500.
Yep. And there are some diseases that we are watching and have been tracking now for some months. Ebola continues to spread in Western Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Sierra Leone has closed its borders as the disease has spread from Guinea to Sierra Leone. It's also showed up in Monrovia,
Liberia.
And here inside the United States, chikungunya has made its appearance on our shores.
I remember, I don't know if we did, we talked about it, I think we did on PID Radio a couple of weeks ago. It's been in Haiti now for a couple of months, and I think there was an official in Florida that said, it'll never come here, it'll never cross over here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
People from Haiti show up there all the time. What do you mean it'll never cross over here?
Right. Two cases in Rhode Island, one in Madison County, Tennessee, 25 cases of chikungunya in Florida. Chikungunya is a virus that is born by mosquitoes.
Mm-hmm.
And
so if you get enough people in the blood pool,
right,
that you get enough mosquitoes who are infected and suddenly, and this is not a nice disease.
No, it's incurable, very painful. It's also been reported and confirmed in North Carolina, Nebraska, and Indiana. So it's beginning to spread here, and you know, this is something, and I don't mean to be flippant about this, but we talked about this morning as well. DDT, mm-hmm, as a mosquito repellent, as mosquito eradicator, was banned here in the United States years ago. And in fact, we won't even allow it to be used in places where they really could use something that kills mosquitoes, like Sub-Saharan Africa, where, what is it, something like 5 million kids a year die because of malaria?
Yeah, well, give them nets. That'll
mosquito nets, yeah, which obviously aren't working because there are lots of kids dying of malaria. Let's see, I'm looking this up now, mosquito deaths in, or malaria deaths, rather, in Africa. But I just wonder, because malaria used to be a problem here in the United States, because we've got some swampy, mm-hmm, subtropic regions in Georgia, Florida, down south, where malaria used to be a problem until we wiped out the mosquitoes with DDT. Mm-hmm. Then we banned it. If chikungunya really takes off and becomes a major health threat here in the United States, how long before we unban DDT and say, oh, hey, by the way, did you know that Rachel Carson lied?
Well, she was disingenuous.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. She happened not to be correct.
Yeah.
We'll see. Once Americans are threatened by a mosquito-borne disease, let's see how long it takes us to approve something as deadly as DDT for the eradication. Okay, I was mistaken. I was off by a zero. Over 500,000 people die from malaria each year, 627,000. Most of them children under the age of 5.
Mm-hmm.
But and 90% of those deaths are in sub-Saharan Africa.
Mm-hmm.
But let's not use DDT. Let's just, you know, send them nets.
Right.
They've actually done tests on the claim Rachel Carson made in her
book Silent Spring.
Yeah, very influential book Silent Spring, was that it made the eggshells of the condor, the California condor, really thin, so that when the mother sat on them to warm them, she broke them, and you know, obviously the infants, the baby birds were killed.
Right.
But when they actually did tests of DDT, actually fed DDT to birds, they found that it actually made the eggshells thicker. So
right. Just do a Google search for Rachel Carson and, bad research or whatever you want to. There are a lot of scientists out there that have major questions about her conclusions.
Yeah. But it led to the banning of DDT, and it's, you know, maybe this is too harsh a way to put it, but it seems to me that it's led to, it essentially condemns about 500,000 young children to death of malaria every year.
Well.
In Africa.
Yeah.
But it's in Africa, so that's.
Well, that's how some people feel.
Yep.
These are wonderful people. God died for every one of those children. Yeah. God died for every one of those, you know, farmers and men and women who are working so very hard. You and I and many of our listeners, we have it so easy compared to the people in most of the world.
Yeah. And much easier than our parents or grandparents, mm-hmm, had it as well. Left turn. We talk a lot about the spiritual war here, and I've been doing a lot of interviews recently on A View from the Bunker that deal with the supernatural realm and how we as Christians engage with it or encounter it. Stumbled onto an article that was just published in D Magazine, which is one of those magazines you find in, you know, it's basically local stuff for the city of Dallas, mm-hmm, Texas.
Yeah.
So, you know, Dallas,
I thought
being
it stood for Derek.
The big D now. So I'm just, you know,
or Dad.
Economy size D. but in those municipal type magazines, typically it's about, you know, various, things going on in the city, mm-hmm. architecture,
the arts,
the arts and things like that. This article is called The Exorcist's Next Door, and it's about a deliverance ministry in West Arlington, Texas, which is a suburb of Dallas. The author of the article gives a very reasoned, balanced piece. And in fact, there's kind of a twist at the end. You know, what you wouldn't expect in a mainstream publication that typically is devoted to things like the arts, entertainment, and local community civic life and whatnot. About the work being done by this couple who are running a deliverance ministry out of their home, more or less. So it's and the approach to deliverance is very similar to what we've heard from people like Russ Dizdar, Richard Grund, and others. You don't speak a ritual. You don't go through a routine. You basically command them to get out.
Mm-hmm. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Exactly, right.
And rather than you get to ask me questions, you face him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's not me speaking slanderous accusations against you or blasphemies against you. It's, you know, mm-hmm. the Lord rebuke you.
Yeah,
you know, Jesus
exactly.
Christ compels you to leave. And so, again, I just thought it was really interesting because the author of the piece came away, I sensed, with a different perspective on what these people do than she went into the interview with. Mm-hmm. So I'll put a link to that in the show notes because it's interesting and a little more evidence that Chris Putnam is onto something here when he says the supernatural worldview is really supplanting the naturalist worldview here in the West, even among science and scientists, which I guess isn't a surprise.
But it's not the worldview that you and I have. They have a supernatural worldview that's
right,
developing
right.
here in the West, but it is not based on biblical Christianity and
right.
the biblical worldview, the true worldview.
Exactly. And that's what we Christians need to, we need to execute sort of a spiritual judo move on this. It's like they're moving in that direction anyway. We sort of need to redirect it and say, yeah, you want to know about it? You want to know the unknown God?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Like Paul on Mars Hill. Instead of condemning them for saying, well, you heretics, dot, 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 and driving them away.
You know what? You're right. It is. There are spiritual things going on everywhere.
Right. And then get and
exactly.
draw them into a discussion of, well, how do you know? Well, I have a source of information that is unquestionable.
Exactly. I can tell you about a man who was so demonized, so filled with evil spirits that he was, you couldn't keep him chained down.
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't keep clothes on the man.
Yeah.
He hung out in graveyards.
Sounds like a horror film.
And
but yeah.
It does.
Sadly,
it sounds like some of the news stories we see every day.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, it's really shocking. You know, you can go to Google and the Google News feature allows you to set up news alerts for specific keywords. And I've got a few. And one that I keep getting hits on, not as often as a couple of years ago when this phenomenon first manifested, but mm-hmm. A search term, naked man covered blood. And about every 2 weeks, there's another story of a naked man covered in blood who's been arrested for something. We just got to where we didn't want to talk about it anymore because it was being trivialized in the mainstream press as the zombie apocalypse.
Yeah. I'm sorry.
And that, we probably went too far in even using those phrases when we first started talking about it. But it started with that story of that guy on the off ramp on the freeway in Miami eating the face off of a homeless man and had to be shot to death before he would stop. So, again, something supernatural going on there.
Yeah.
Not a guy just on PCP or whatever.
Sam left us.
He did. So it is a kind of a downer week in terms of the items in the news. And we just, again, remind you that, you know, we know that the cavalry is coming.
We wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Yeah. And Jesus will return.
Amen.
On his time, not through the efforts of our hands to establish his kingdom on earth. We are to spread the gospel and make disciples of all nations,
mm-hmm.
which means a little bit more, I guess, than
just... doesn't mean the countries.
Yeah.
It means people outside of Israel.
Yeah.
People everywhere.
Yeah. And boy, I'll tell you what, that really surprised me when I realized that the dominionists, when they're saying make disciples of all nations, really mean nations because there's a belief that... when God judges the sheep from the goats, that he's actually judging sheep nations and goat nations.
Yeah. So if you live in the wrong one, you know, Costa Rica may be great, but if it turns out to be a goat nation,
yeah, then you're in trouble. Well, if you have that kind of a worldview where you believe that you're going to be judged based on how righteous your nation is, how would that compel you to get to be politically active? I mean, how much motivation would that provide for you to want to take over the government?
That's a really good point.
Yeah, if my eternal destination, if my salvation depended on being in a sheep nation as opposed to a goat nation, great googly moogly.
I'm so glad it does not.
Oh, amen to that. Well, you can find us on Facebook. Find the PID Radio Cafe. We welcome your participation there.
And do not forget that we will both be in Colorado Springs in July. And if you've not already signed up for the Prophecy Conference, go to prophecyinthenews.com or find their website. Mm-hmm. Sorry, their page on Facebook.
Yeah.
We've got links at PIDradio.com.
Yeah, so you find a link there, and we hope you can join us there. As I understand it, they have already filled up the block of rooms that they'd reserved at the Marriott, and so.
But there's a hotel right across the street.
Yes, the Hyatt House. So they're taking reservations there, and we'd love to see you there, because as wonderful as it is to get information from prophecy scholars, but just hanging out, the conversations in the lines to get meals and coffee are sometimes as edifying as anything that takes place in one of the
breakout rooms. Yeah. Let me also give you a little clue. If indeed they set it up so, like we had it in Florida, so that there were chairs in your interview room.
Oh yeah,
I got to tell you, that's the big secret. You will get to not only hear the interviews live that Derek conducts, but you'll get to meet each of the speakers and ask them questions, because oftentimes they've got a few minutes, you know, outside in the hall.
Right.
And not one of those speakers is sort of a don't touch me, don't talk to me. Mm-hmm. Everybody is so warm and open and welcoming. And you get to these are just brothers and sisters in Christ, for goodness
sake. That's right.
They're not anybody special. We're certainly not anybody special, other than the fact that Jesus Christ died for us.
Amen.
And you.
Until next time, I'm Derek Gilbert.
I'm Sharon Gilbert. Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks for listening. PID Radio is a production of the PID Radio Network, a division of Gilbert House. Please visit our website at PIDradio.com, where you'll find show notes and links to connect with us on Twitter and Facebook. We wish to thank all those who help undergird and underwrite our ministry through prayers, feedback, and donations. To contact us directly, email us at radio@peeringintodarkness.com. Opening music adapted from The Alchemist's Tower by Kevin MacLeod, www.incompetech.com. Closing music, New Day Coming by Steve Grace, stevegrace.com. Content, copyright Gilbert House, and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derives 3.0 Unported License. For more information, see creativecommons.org.
Gonna step up to the microphone, say it loud and clear.